الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. And I want to mention a few more things to you before I begin the program. And that is, first of all, please call your friends and family members and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, or paper, pencil, pen, and some way of taking notes. And those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be tests. And everyone pretty much know what a test is, because we have tests all the time, exams all the time, and people test us or test our limits. And so we want to talk about tests from the Islamic perspective. First of all, you open your Quran to chapter 64, verse 15. And I'm going to read it because of time. I'm going to read it in English and instead of Arabic, and so that we'll be able to, say one time just a little bit, although Quran was revealed in Arabic and is translated into English and Urdu and Spanish and other languages, so people can get a better understanding of what the Quran is saying. But the Quran is in Arabic. So it says in chapter 64, verse 15, your wealth and your children are only a test, but Allah has a great reward. And so we see from here, that our wealth would be a test for us, and our children will also be a test for us, and then their children would be a test for them, and so on and so forth, generation after generation. But they will be our test. We may have a little bit of wealth, or may have a lot of wealth. It's going to still be a test for you. And also, you have children. A lot of children, a little bit of children, they are going to be a test for you. Sometimes people may think that, okay, once my children are grown and gone, that they're out my house, and so I have really no responsibility to them. And so they really don't go away. They may go away physically in terms of having their own place, their own family, but they still get in touch with you. They still talk to you. They still have various issues and problems that you would either feel obligated to help them with, or they may ask you to, oh, father, mother, whatever they call you, can you help me with this particular situation or out of this particular situation? And so we will have the tests, our wealth and our family. They all will be a test for us. Also, Allah mentions in terms of a test, he said, do people think that once they say we believe, that they will be left without being put to the test? So a person becomes Muslim, for example, and that's it. No, that's not it. Now your tests begin. Yes, you say you're Muslim, you verbalize that you're Muslim, and so you're going to be a certain test going to be placed before you, and are you going to pass or fail the test? Temptation is going to be in front of you. So are you going to pass or fail the test? Are you going down a fork in the road? Are you going to go down the correct path on that road? Are you going to go to the incorrect path in that road? So just saying what we believe, we're not going to be left alone. That's not enough. You're going to have to show that you are a believer in your action. Allah said don't do certain things. You shouldn't be doing those things, or you don't do those things. Allah said do those things. Those are the things that you should do with no hesitation. And so that is your test. And your angels write down, you're on your right side writing down your good deeds, and your left side of you write down your bad deeds. You have one on your right shoulder, one on your left shoulder writing down your deeds, or things that you say, or things that you do. And then on the day of judgment, and they're not going to decide for you if you made the correct decision, but they will write down what you did. How did you respond to something? How do you act to something? What do you say about so and so thing? Physically, what did you do? And so they're going to mark all these things down, and there's no bribing them or anything like that. Giving them money, you don't write this down, or don't write that down. Hide this, hide that, or say to them, okay, write this down, although it's not true. No, they're going to witness their purpose or job, and they do stick to their jobs, and they are witnesses. These are witness angels, and witness what you do and what you do not do, or what I do, or what I do, or what I do not and do not do. And so that would be our test. Will we pass the test, or will we fail the test? Are we going to do the wrong thing, or are we going to do the right thing? That's our test for each and every one of us. Even those things we do in the dark, think that no one sees us. Allah can see you. He sees you. He can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So he certainly knows what you are doing. You don't even need angels to tell you or write down what you're doing, because that's easy for Allah to do. Allah created us. He is the creator, and he knows us. And see, certain temptations, are we going to pass the test, or are we going to fail the test? And then we, on the day of judgment, go before Allah, naked and uncircumcised, and we go before Allah, and we don't have to say anything to him. We have to explain our case. You might be a good talker in this life and get away with, or a good liar in this life and get away with things, but before Allah, you won't say a thing. Allah will command your tongue to talk, and you have no control over it. Your ears to talk, no control. Your eyes to talk, no control. Control over your feet, your hands, all the legs, whatever. They all will testify for or against you, where they went, what they saw, what they did. And so I just want to give you a heads up, my students. And so all this may sound far-fetched. Oh, I don't believe you, Imam. Okay, you may not believe me now, but it will come a day where you will believe me. And by that time, it'll be too late. I'm only bringing to you the warning of what Prophet Muhammad said to us, and what it says in the Quran. And I'm just bringing the same kind of gift to you that was given to me, which is to warn you about not doing things and passing the test. That's the warning and my advice and nasihah to you. Also, it mentions about kulli nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will have a taste of death. And we test you, O humanity. And this is coming from, chapter 21, verse 35. Again, chapter 21, verse 25. And the one I read earlier, I'm sorry, I don't think I mentioned, that was chapter 29, verse 2. Chapter 29, verse 2. When I mentioned about, do people think once they say we believe that we will be left without being put to the test? Again, that's chapter 29, verse 2. And what I'm reading right now is chapter 21, verse 35. Again, chapter 21, verse 35. And it says, every soul will taste death. And we test you, O humanity, with good and evil as a trial. Then to us you will all be returned. As I mentioned to you earlier, we all return to Allah naked and uncircumcised. And we all are going to be put to the test with good and with evil. Are we going to do the good, or are we going to do the evil? Some people, they do evil after evil after evil until they think that the evil is good. and they just change over the name of something that is evil and change it to good so they can keep doing it. It's okay to do. And I pray that people do not think do things that are good, that it becomes evil for you, and the good becomes evil. You can't even recognize it. Evil becomes good, and good becomes evil. Don't mix the two up. They don't mix together. They don't form in the heart correctly like that. They don't. It's like, but they say oil and water. They don't. They do not mix. Let your heart be full with good, and void of evil. And so I want to mention something else. And it's going to be in the second chapter of the Quran. It's going to be chapter number 2, verse 155. Again, chapter number 2, verse 155. And it says, "We will certainly test you with a touch of fear and famine and loss of property, life, and crops. Good news to those who patiently endure." So Allah will test us. He tests us with fear. He tests us with famine. We lose property. We lose family members around us, people's lives, our crop, those who are farmers and the like. But the good news is that the people are to be patient and endure. Be patient with your situation, with your loss of property, or famine, or fear, or the loss of crops. Be patient with it. Don't think things like, oh Allah, why you do this to me? You say, okay, mashallah, Allah did so and so. It's a reason that Allah is doing so and so to me, or taking the lives of so and so, life of so and so from me, my property away from me, or pushing my property away, or any crops or anything like that. Okay, or I'm fearful or something. All right, okay, Allah done this to you. It's written for it to happen to you. And so, all right, you say, Allah, make me be patient with this thing. Give me the patience to deal with this. You're so happy when good things happen. And so also, and you be patient with, but bad things happen to you, because this life is not full of all good and not full with all bad. And so you got to be able to deal with both of them when they come, and deal with them both in the same manner. And be patient when it comes to laws. Sometimes people are not very patient when it comes to laws. And these things are going to be a test. Loss of property, famine, fear, loss of life. All these things are a big test for each and every one of us. And in chapter 72, verse 17, again, chapter 72, verse 17, it says, "As a test for them, and whoever turns away from remembrance of their Lord will be admitted by him into overwhelming penalty or overwhelming punishment." And so it would be a test. And we can't turn away from remembering Allah. Remember Allah, we must do that. And if we don't do that, we're not patient with Allah, or patient with our situation. You might be going through something right now. Be patient with it. And Allah may change it, because keep making prayers to Allah, and that's Allah that changes the situation. But you're not patient with it and do all kinds of crazy things to try to resolve it. You don't have money, so you go out and steal other people's money. You don't have property, so you take other people's property. And you all know what I'm talking about. And so you may be that person going to be in this overwhelming punishment. And who wants to be in the overwhelming punishment? None of us want that for ourselves nor for our family. And so, my beautiful students, please understand that this is all is going to be a test for you. It's either you're going to pass the test or you're going to fail the test. To my knowledge, there's no in between passing and failing. Either you're going to pass or you're going to fail. And so in some tests, you might get a low mark or whatever, but you still pass. And you get a high mark, you still pass. Or you might get a mark below passing. And the thing is, either you're going to pass the test that Allah puts before you, or you're going to do what? You're going to fail the test that Allah puts before you. And later on, I'll give you, perhaps, inshallah, I have the time, I'll give you a dua or a supplication you can make to asking Allah to help you with the trials that he places before you, and that you are patient, have sabr with your situation. In Allah my sabreen. Allah is with those who are patient. I want to read another chapter and verse unto you. And that's going to come from chapter 20. Verse 1:3:1. Again, that's chapter 20, verse 1:3:1 in the Quran. I'll give you a little bit of time to get to it. I gave you a lot of lower numbers earlier, but this is a 20. It's not that high. So it's going to be chapter 20, verse 1:31, and it says, "Do not let your eyes crave what we have allowed some of disbelievers to enjoy, and the fleeting and splendor of this worldly life, which we test them with. But your Lord's provision in the hereafter is far better and more lasting." And so it simply is telling us to do what? Don't crave what disbelievers crave, what others crave in this world. Don't let this splendor be a beautiful thing in your eyes, this worldly splendor, splendor, I'm sorry. And so we don't do that. Man, it looks so good. They're having such a good time over there drinking and partying and dancing. You might want to be part of that, but it looks like it's a great time. Look, it's beneficial, it is nice, they're joyful. But it may not, but Islamically, from the Islamic standpoint, is not a good thing for you. The drinking is not good. And rubbing up against women and men that you're not married to is also not good. So we have to be very, very careful about that. And this is what the verse is talking about or alluding to in verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1:31. And it said, "Do not let your eyes crave," like want this thing, "what we have allowed some of disbelievers to enjoy." And then it's fleeting splendor of this world life. It's only here just for a little bit. What, we're 60 years, 70 years, maybe 110 years, whatever. This is short compared to forever. And that's what's going to happen to us in the next world. You're going to be there forever. It's unlimited. It has no end to it. So I'd be very, very careful about craving what they think they're enjoying. And you be patient and be patient and stay away from the things that the people seem to be enjoying and craving for, because your enjoyment will come in paradise, where you live there forever, and that whatever you want, you will get. Whatever you desire, you will get in paradise. You'd be very youthful, around 30-something, something like that. And then anything that you ask for, you will get it. Eating fruit, like fruit we haven't ever tasted before on earth. Or drinking drinks that we never drunk before on earth. Or tasting the food that we never tasted before. All these kinds of things that are in paradise. And so I just want to remind my beautiful students and brothers and sisters is that please just be patient and pass the test. We have daily tests. As Allah said, test you with loss of life, loss of property, famine, fear, all those things that I mentioned earlier that can happen to us, happen to people all the time. So just be very, very patient with it, and ask Allah to help you be patient. Now, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as I mentioned to you earlier, is that he will make a supplication. And one of the supplications that he will make, it will be, "My Lord, help me and do not give help against me. Grant me victory and do not grant victory over me. Plan on my behalf and do not plan against me. Guide me and make my right guidance easy for me. Grant me victory over those who act wrongfully towards me. O Allah, Make me grateful to you, mindful of you, full of fear towards you, devoted to your obedience, humble before you. My Lord, accept my repentance, wash away my sin, answer my supplication, clearly establish my evidence, guide my heart, make true my tongue, and draw out malice from my breath. And so we see here, my beautiful student, all the things that we are asking of Allah, and basically asking Allah to help us with the various tests that we're going to run into, and to give us victory over these things. And not victory, have victory over us. And plan against us. So all these things, these things that put before us, that we'll be able to endure it. And that we are victorious over these things. And that Allah accept our repentance and wash away our sins and our supplication. And our supplication should be to him is that we pass the test. Is that when we have lost, then we pass the test and we pray to him, oh Allah, make it easy for me. May be able to deal with the situation. So we ask Allah for these things. When these tests come to us, that we make the right decisions. And you have tests on a daily basis. You probably went through something before you listened to me today. You may go through something after you finish listening to me today. But in any case, you ask Allah to help you. Go to Almighty God to help you. The one that created Al-Khalid, the one that created each and every one of us. You want help? You ask help from Allah. You ask of Allah. Allah hears you. He is a supplicant when he supplicate to him. He hears you. You probably say, oh Lord, you got like a thousand and thousands of people, millions of people, billions of people throughout the world say, make a supplication. Why is mine special? You make supplication, Allah hears you. It's easy for Allah to do. It's difficult for us to hear a billion people at one time and clearly know what they're asking us. Sure, it's different. We don't have that ability. But Allah has the ability to hear the supplication of those who ask of him. And to answer as he please. And when he please to do so. And so we should ask Allah to help us to pass whatever test he put before us. Tests, we can't do anything about yesterday. But we can ask Allah about tests that we get to the rest of the day. And the tests that we get tomorrow. And any tomorrows that come after tomorrow. So we can ask Allah for his help and for his protection. He's the only one can help us. We can't go to our family. They can't help us with many of the tests that before us, our personal struggles that we're going through. But Allah can help us with those personal struggles. And that's for the rich have personal struggles and the poor have personal struggles. And the black and the white and the brown or yellow, whatever color you are, it doesn't matter. Each, everybody, human being, we have personal struggles. You may not know about it, and the person may appear to be the strongest person that you know, and you want to be like that individual, but they have some struggles that perhaps they need to take it to Allah to help them with whatever they're going through, whatever trials and tribulation they're going through in terms of their wealth, in terms of their loss, in terms of famine, in terms of fear, in terms of loss of life. This is something that people struggle with on a daily basis, and sometimes human beings cannot help them. And the very human beings you're going to help, they need help themselves. And so I'm begging you, my beautiful students, those who hear me, and you that hear me, tell those who do not hear me. Take it to Allah and ask Allah for the help that you need and that you be victorious. And the trials and tribulations that he put before you, that you be able to pass with little to no difficult. I want to read a couple more things and I will stop. It's also mentioned that one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon his family, said, O Messenger of Allah, which people are most severely tested? He said, the prophets. Then the next best, and the next best. a person is tested according to his religious commitment. If he is steadfast in his religious commitment, he will be tested more severely. And if he is frail in his religious commitment, his test will be according to his commitment. Trials will be continued to afflict a person until they leave him walking on earth with no sin on him. So these trials are there. If you're strong in your religious commitment, the trials are going to be there. Even if you're light on your religious commitment, you're going to have trials. But in each case, strong in your religious commitment or weak in your religious commitment, the common denominator that we all have is that we go to Allah and ask for help. No matter how strong you are in your religious commitment, no matter how weak you are in your religious commitment, but we go to Allah for the help that we need. Whatever the situation is, it's not that big that one's going to take their life or take the life of their lives or take the life of their family or other people. No, that's not how you deal with the situation. That's not the remedy to your particular situation. And what you do is you go to Allah and ask Allah for guidance and for help. Oh Allah, this is my situation. In my mind is telling me to do thus and so. I don't want to do this bad thing or these bad things or encourage others to do bad things. Please Allah, guide me. And then you wait for Allah to give you the answer. You don't know where the answer will come from, a phone call, or Allah just put in within your spirit. You don't give you another alternative to what you're going to do, the bad thing you were going to do. And so, as I mentioned, you're going to be on trial. It's going to be a test for you with good and with evil. And so you ask Allah for the guidance and protection from whatever bad you get me to do or you done. So you done something already, okay, you go to Allah and ask for forgiveness. If your sins are as high as the mountain, or big as the mountain, or the reaches the sky, like the foam on the earth, or the foam on the sea, it doesn't matter. Allah can forgive you. He forgive everything except for shirk, associated partner with Allah. Next time you go and you see a mountain, it doesn't matter if your sins are that high. Allah forgive you. If it reaches the sky, kisses the sky, Allah will forgive you. Keep these things in mind. Or you live near the ocean, you go to the ocean or beach, something like that, and you know how the water kind of, it goes out and it comes back in, the waves keep coming in, and then it has this kind of white foam. Even if it's as massive as the white foam that comes from the water, Allah will forgive it. It does not matter. And it's also mentioned a lady by the prophet's wife, Aisha. She said to him, he said, a lady along with her two daughters came to me, meaning Aisha, and asked me for alms, meaning some kind of help. But she found nothing with me except one date, which I gave to her, and she divided it between her two daughters. And then she got up and went away. Then the prophet, peace be upon him, came in, and I informed him about this story. He said, whoever is in charge of, meaning put to the test, these daughters, and treats them graciously or generously, then they will act as a shield for him from the hellfire. Just by this woman giving her, having the dates from Aisha, and she split it. She didn't eat it. She split it between her daughters, and the prophet said what? He said, whoever is in charge and put to the test by these daughters, and treat them generously, then they will act as a shield for him or for her from the hellfire. Just for her, this woman just giving these two daughters the dates. These daughters can act as a shield for her from the hellfire. So I'm asking you all please, when a test comes, the test is going to come. She could have poked that whole date in her mouth and forget about her daughters, bit a little bit off and gave a little bit. But what she did, she split it between the two and gave it to her daughter and daughters and the prophet. He mentioned that these girls, being generous towards these girls, will be act as a shield from the hellfire for this woman. So the tests are going to be there. And the thing is, are you going to pass the test? Are you going to go to Allah and ask Allah for help and ask Allah for guidance? So my beautiful students, I want to mention to you, you want more information about Islam, you go to Why Islam. You want to learn more about Islam, you can also go to the International Online University, also the American Open University. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.